I'm Donald Waters, and welcome to Pocket Cinema, a conversation show about the Avett Brothers, documentaries, Emerson Corleone, and much, much more. Today on the show, we have...
Hey, everybody. It's Nate here again, and we're also joined by... Today, we have a very special guest. He goes by the name Emerson Corleone. How are we doing today?
Oh, excellent, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm stoked to be on here, for real. So, I'm a fan of the podcast, first and foremost.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So...
For the listeners at home, we were talking to Aiden via Discord, and there was a little bit of a delay, so if you hear one of us cut each other off or whatever, it was unintentional. Yes.
Me and Aiden have been talking for a really long time, like for a few years at least.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a long time
coming. Absolutely.
We should just jump right into it. Because this is kind of a unique guest that we have, why don't you, Aiden, tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Absolutely, yeah. So my name is Aiden Hunt, a.k.a. Emerson Corleone. That's my alias, my musical alias. I'm a lover of film, which is one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be on here. And also, I'm a music artist. I make hip-hop music. And yeah, that's a little bit about myself. I've been making music probably about 4 or 5 years with actually putting stuff out. Maybe even longer at this point. Wow, I'm losing track of time at this point. And Donald and I met each other through a very close friend of mine, Matt Ryder. Shout out to Matt.
Shout out.
Matt, the CEO of FTI. Amazing guy, one of my favorite people in the world, truly. And that's how Donald and I crossed paths, and we met and became friends. And it all led up to here. So it's great to be on here. Like I said, I love the show, and yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
So we ask our guests, the very first question we typically ask our guests is, what's your favorite movie and why?
Wow. That is...
And you can give us a list, question. You know, it doesn't have to be just one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so if I had to narrow it down, I've been asked this question before. It's always a difficult question to be asked. But if I had to say, like, off the top of my head, first choice that comes to my mind has to be Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And it's just because, A, I've seen it countless times. I've probably seen it more than any other film. The only film I think I've seen more than that is Revenge of the Sith. Because I've watched it, like, religiously as a kid. Dazed and Confused is a movie that I've loved for the longest time, probably since I was in elementary school. And I remember watching it as a kid with my friend John, and we were like, man, I hope high school is like this. And it's just a movie that's been with me throughout my whole life, and I can put it on any time, any place, any mood. So many quotables, incredible soundtrack. Richard Linklater also is one of my favorite directors, too. Like, he is unbelievable. Every movie of his that I've seen, I've been floored by. Like, His films are just so not pretentious, and they're just filled with so much heart and charisma and character, and his characters are always incredible. And like, Dazed and Confused is one of those films where it's like, even a character that's on the screen for a mere like 5 minutes is so memorable. In fact, you can tell because Matthew McConaughey is still playing off of the Wooderson character all of these years, right? And like, when you think about it, he only had like 10, 15 minutes of screen time. And yet his character is so great in that film that it's like stuck with him his whole career. It's like, it's so iconic. And so I just think that movie has a lot of staying power, and it's just something I can always watch anytime. And I feel like that's what makes it my favorite movie.
Okay.
Do you have any others that you want to shout out?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, if I'm thinking of some others, like in more recent years, one of my favorites is Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. It's just
okay.
One of those movies that every time I watch it, I'm like absolutely speechless. It is an impeccable film. It's terrifying, but it's also it's heartfelt, and it's such an incredible experience of a movie. And I'm just a huge David Lynch fan in general, big fan of Twin Peaks. And that movie has just always stuck out to me. Like, the first time I watched it, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and then I revisited it, and I just was floored, and it instantly kind of jumped to the top of my list. And I've gone back and revisited it several times, and it's one of those movies that just sticks with you, and I don't want to give anything away about it in case you guys haven't seen Twin Peaks
or
gotten invested in the story. Yeah, but it's just remarkable. Obviously, you got to watch the at least watch the original series first, mm-hmm. To really be felt by it. But there's so much there. There's so many layers to peel back in that movie. And that's a favorite of mine. I'm just thinking of some off the top of my head, some other favorites. Obviously, On the Waterfront.
Oh yeah,
Brando. But some other favorites of mine. Like I'm just looking at my, I have like a shelf of Blu-rays too. Like probably Bicycle Thieves is one of my all time favorites. What else is up there? The original Dawn of the Dead. I'm a big horror guy.
Okay.
Big horror guy. Another film that I love too that I have here on Blu-ray is one called, it's a Sam Peckinpah film. It's called Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. It's one of my favorite movies. I know that you mentioned, Donald, that you've been wanting to check that one out.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, it's tough to find. I ended up just buying a Blu-ray of it. It was put out by Kino Lorber's, also okay. one of the best companies for physical media. I know you're a huge Blu-ray guy as well, and mm-hmm. Love physical media. I have a pretty modest Blu-ray collection going on. I have more VHS than I do Blu-ray, but that's up there. But yeah, I do love horror films. Like I love the first Creepshow as well. That's another one of my absolute favorites. It's Treasures of Sierra Madre is another movie I love.
That's too. One of the big ones that I still have not seen. I really need to watch.
Yeah, that's all. It's incredible. It's years ahead of its time. I saw it in the theaters with my pops, and I had seen it before, but like it was, seeing it again was just incredible. Like Humphrey Bogart in that movie is so good, man. That's one of my favorites. Also, another one of my absolute favorite films too is Tim Burton's Ed Wood.
Oh yeah,
another one. Movies, yeah, I love that one. It's one that I've loved. One that my pop showed me when I was young, and we've just gone back and revisited a lot. And I think Ed Wood is such an interesting guy.
Yeah, that's such a cool movie.
Yeah, it's really cool, and he lived such an interesting life, and he was such a compelling character, really. And he made so many strange films. I've seen a handful of his movies. I've yet to see everything because he made a lot, but I've seen a few, like Night of the Ghouls and Glen or Glenda and like Plan 9 from Outer Space, and he's just such an oddball, man. Like he's just one of those characters. He was kind of like a Tommy Wiseau, but like the first of his kind of like oddball filmmakers, kind of just worked with what he had but yet made it work, no matter how bad some of his movies are.
So you mentioned your dad a lot while you were talking about that. Your dad really likes movies. Oh. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut
you off.
Yeah. Huge film lover.
Yeah.
Huge film lover.
I wanted to ask you if he had any like favorite movies.
Absolutely. Yeah, he does. He has, he once crafted a list of his favorites. I imagine that it's ever changing, but like some of his favorites were, The 400 Blows is one of his favorites. He's a big Abbott and Costello guy, and one of his favorites is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. That was one that he showed me when I was younger too. But his list of favorites is pretty extensive. Also, another one of his favorites is Blade Runner. That's another movie that had a huge impact on him. Born on the 4th of July is one that comes to mind. Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Oliver Stone that directed that.
Yep, yeah,
that
Oliver
was
an Stone. Yep.
Film that's one of his favorites. But there's a lot of films that him and I have watched together that have become like sentimental favorites of ours together. Like for instance, Fast Times at Ridgemont High is a film that him and I have seen countless times. But yeah, he has a very fascinating taste. Also, another one that I have to mention that is quite essential to his taste is Chinatown, is
okay.
A movie that has massive influence on him because he's a huge mystery and detective film fanatic as well as literature too. He writes mystery novels.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And has published books. Yeah. So he's a huge, but his taste is quite vast, and he introduced me to countless movies, which is again, a huge reason why I'm even on here today. So shout out to him. Much love.
Yeah, sweet. Maybe, what are your, like, favorite artists?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so kind of more of a music artist.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, it was interesting, before I really became really interested in hip hop. I was more into classic rock. Like early on, I started out, my love of music kind of flourished with early on with Guitar Hero, to be honest. Like, to be honest, that was my entry into the world of music, was playing the Guitar Hero games, because there is such a crazy vast variety of tracks. And I was kind of like one of those kids. I had long hair, and I was really into like Iron Maiden and Metallica and Avenged Sevenfold. That's kind of the music that I started out with. And and then I kind of got into hip hop more into ninth, tenth grade, but always loved like a variety of different genres. Some of my favorite artists though are like outside of hip hop and just in music in general, like Pavement is one of my favorite bands. I love the Smiths. There's a lot of different groups. I'm trying to think of some more, man. It's always, every time I'm asked this question, I always forget. Gil Scott Heron's one of my favorite artists. Donald Byrd, James Brown. That's like, it just goes on and on. I'm trying to think of who else comes to mind. Otis Redding is one of my favorite singers. But in terms of hip hop, like, I love some names that come to mind are like Mach Hami is a huge influence of mine, a Haitian rapper who's really, really incredible. He's one of my favorites. My favorite rapper, though, is Rock Marciano, who's an underground hip hop artist from New York. He started out in this group called the UN.
Okay.
Actually, even before that, he was a part of Busta Rhymes' Flip Mode Squad in the 90s. But he's one of my favorite artists, and he kind of got into the game in the early 2010s and had a huge impact on this current scene of underground hip hop that I'm a part of, that I'm interested in, that I'm kind of tapped in with the My Sound Reflex, which is this sort of like sample based minimal percussion, what people have kind of dubbed as drumless hip hop. And that's kind of like the stuff at this moment that really inspires me, of artists like Mach Hami. Another artist that comes to mind, Billy Woods, is one of my favorites, and his group Arm & Hammer, alongside the rapper Lucid. So those are a few, like, in the rap game. Obviously, MF Doom, and going back to that, like, obviously, when I first started out, I loved, like, Nas and Dr. Dre and all, and the big names, like, obviously, and I've just kind of dove into hip-hop for a good chunk of my life now at this point, and really loved it. But always thinking of artists off the top of my head is always tricky. Like, I know I'll come back and listen to this and be like, damn, I forgot to mention so-and-so and so-and-so, but that kind of gives you a general rundown of, you know, people that influence me and my sound.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
A while ago, you made me a list of, like, hip-hop people, like, hip-hop artists I should check out, and I still go back to that list, and I really appreciate that, so thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I was more than happy to do that. Yeah, when you messaged me about that, I was like, oh, man, I'm stoked. So I kind of crafted a little list, sent it off. Yeah, I always love doing stuff like that, man, so it's a pleasure of mine.
This has become a tradition basically every week that we say our top three music artists at the moment. The last time we did this, Tyler was just referencing that I listed off like 70 artists and projects that I was into. So I'm not going to go that route, but we're going to say, I guess, our top three current favorite bands or artists at the moment. And Emerson, if you want to go first or last, either way is fine, because I know you said listing off the top of your head is pretty hard, but... I mean, just, like, in the current moment, like, if you were in the car, what artist would you put on? So, who wants to go first? Me?
I don't mind starting.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead.
You want to start?
Are you sure? Okay, yeah, I mean, why not? Sure, so, I can think of a few. So there is one record that I've been listening to. It's an abstract hip hop album. It's called Apocalypso.
Okay.
By the rapper Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan and the producer Dylan the Infamous. I was put on by this guy, Obi-Wan, by a good friend of mine, B.E. Shout out to B.E., who's also a musical collaborator of mine. We put out a project called Refined Specs, but he introduced me to this guy, Obi-Wan, and he is... really interesting. He reminds me a lot of another artist I mentioned earlier, Mach Hami. Mm-hmm. But he's, yeah, he's rapping on kind of these really soulful, stripped back beats from Dylan the Infamous, a producer who I wasn't familiar with until very, very recently. Again, another artist that BE put me onto. And man, this is a very interesting hip hop record. It's pretty avant garde, and I love that kind of sound, that kind of more left field hip hop stuff. Very dense lyrics, but very, very vivid, and they paint pictures. So I love Obi-Wan's style. So he's another one that comes to mind. I have to say, another one that I've been really listening to a lot was, I've been going back and listening to a record from an artist named Little Beaver. It's called Joey.
Okay.
Which has been a great record. It's a 70s. He made a lot of really cool soul music in the 70s, but this one's kind of has more of a blues flavor, but that's a record that I've been going back and listening to quite a bit. I would say I've been listening to a record from The God Fahim. That I really love. Like, the God Fahim is a rapper from Atlanta who works a lot with Makami, and he came up with a project called Dump God Reloaded. I got on vinyl recently.
Okay.
I'm stoked because it's sold out and it's kind of hard to get now, but got my hands on a copy. Cool hip hop, another really cool hip hop record. More kind of drumless soul sounds. Great, great stuff from Fahim. Probably one of my favorite projects. He's called The 100 Tape, as he calls himself, something like the 100 Tape Goat or something. Like, he's got like over 100 projects or something like that. He's got a ridiculous discography. He's a very, very cool rapper, pretty laid back, just straight to the point. Really dope lyricist, and he works with a lot of people I really respect, like Year Old Drew, Makami, Jay Nice, some of these other rappers. I really like some. Yeah, those are three.
Okay. Awesome. Who wants to go next? Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, my number three, you probably heard of him, Aiden. It's a band called Ween. They did Ocean Man.
Oh my god, I love... Big Ween fan, dude.
Yeah.
Love Ween.
I'm just now getting into their music. I just listened to their album, Chocolate and Cheese, and it's so good.
That's my favorite record from...
Yeah.
Number one favorite record from them. Like, incredible album.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the rest of their discography. That's my number three is Ween. I found out about them through the SpongeBob movie.
With Ocean Man right at the end, right?
Yep. And then my number two, I don't know if you would know, I think they're a Canadian band, Toad the Wet Sprocket. They were referenced Sorry?
Oh, I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, they did a song called All I Want. I could probably play you like a snippet of it, but it was really popular when it came out, and they just had it was referenced on the show Bob's Burgers, and I didn't realize it was a real band, and I looked it up and it was. They just had such a unique name. Play you kind of a snippet of All I Want, which is my favorite song from them.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear that. Well, they're in Bob's Burgers.
This is their kind of style. All their songs kind of sound the same, but... Yeah, you can kind of get the gist from that, but... it's a very good band. And then my number one is Aphex Twin. You probably have heard of them, too. They're very...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's very... it's an instrumental thing, and it's very abstract and atmospheric, and I just... It's the coolest thing ever, driving while they're on. I don't know. But, yeah. So those are my three.
Killer. Great picks.
So my three are going to be kind of weird, because I haven't been listening to, like, too much music, actually, this week. I've been doing a lot of other crap. But anyways, I'd say my third... right now is probably Rust Age, and I probably mentioned him on the last one too. He's like a nerdcore artist, so he raps about like video games, anime, all that crap. Me and my friend Tyler here saw him live last year, and I was just thinking about that trip we took, and we're doing it again this year.
And I'm going.
Yeah, and Donald's gonna go, and our friend Robbie was on last time, so I'm like, oh, I'll listen to him some more. So I kind of been listening to him, but my second artist is actually the band this movie's about, the Yvette Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I started watching the movie. I'm like, okay, I'm liking this. And then, you know, I just started listening to the artists themselves. And they're really good. I'm liking their style a lot. And I won't say much more than that, because we'll probably talk about it more when we get to the movie. But they're really good. But my top artist at this moment, and I want to say, like, top artist of all time or anything, but it's probably Howard Shore. And he's a composer. And he composed the Lord of the Rings and, like, Hobbit soundtracks.
Okay.
Because I've been watching, or not watching, but reading them. Yeah, sorry. Huh, okay.
Oh, no, I was saying, oh, that's amazing, man. Yeah, I'm actually familiar with him. He's incredible.
Yeah, he's really good. His music's great. Because I've been reading the book, so, like, I've been wanting something to listen to while doing that. And it just helps perfectly. And he's really great. But those are my top three.
Tyler, you want to go?
May or may not be influenced by TikTok songs. But,
that's okay.
I just lost the one that I had. What was it? Oh, yeah. Stellar.
Stellar?
Yeah.
S-C-E-L-L-A-R?
No, S-T-E-L-E-R.
Not Stellar, but Stellar.
Stellar.
Okay.
Yep, and then...
What kind of music is it?
Oh, I don't... Not as musically or film...
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Relatively. Mm. I don't...
How would you describe the sound? Play a snippet of a... Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So that's number three.
Dasha?
How do you spell it?
Dash.
D-A-S-H-A?
Yeah.
Okay. S-H-A,
yeah. Who made Austin.
I don't know who that is.
On TikTok. It's the song, Did Your Boots Stop Working? I can
play it.
Yeah, play
it. No, I don't wear boots.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it. We just skip to the thing here. Empty cans
and I'll be damned, your shit was never bad. Yeah, I've heard this before.
Not sure if I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, it's popular on TikTok right now.
Are you on TikTok, Aiden?
I'm actually not. No, I don't have a TikTok. It's something that I should be on, but I just have never made an account. My girlfriend's on there, though. My partner has a TikTok, and, like, when we're together, she'll be on it, and I'll go. And I admit, like, I think a lot of the stuff on there is cool and entertaining, but I just have never made an account.
Yeah. Well, it's probably more healthy for you if you don't have one.
It's probably about to get deleted anyways. And
yeah, well, he's in Canada. Yeah.
That's true, but in America, it's getting banned, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy what's going on with that, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, number three.
Vinnie Marchi.
Or okay. Marchi,
yeah.
What kind of music do they make?
It's like a Nordic kind of, like,
okay,
poem.
Can you play it?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Is it like a parody or?
No, this is an actual song.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what blew up on TikTok. He also did the Soldier, Poet, and King.
Okay.
If you remember when that.
There was.
That blew up
on TikTok. I thought that was sung by a girl.
No, it was him.
Like, There Will Come a Soldier. That. I've heard the girls, a girl cover it, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the one who had it.
It sounds like it, but I think I heard a cover then. Yeah. He sings it higher.
Yeah, he has, like, everybody on TikTok is like, yeah, your voice does not match. Because he had, like, if he, like, dresses up to look like a Viking, that's what he looks like.
Interesting. Yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's the thing, he did that too.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he did it from a clip from, like, Fear Pong or whatever, you know, that, from that same channel. Where it's like they bring in, like, exes or whatever, and they talk or play a game and do dares. No?
I don't think we watch it as much TikTok as you do.
No, it's not TikTok. It's like YouTube channel.
No, never heard of it. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so that was our music taste of the week. And speaking of which, that goes into another conversation. What music streaming service do we use? I'm on Apple Music because my dad pays for it.
It sucks.
but it also sounds a lot better than Spotify.
Does not.
Yes, it does.
Does not.
You can turn on lossless audio.
You know why it only sounds better?
Because you saw somebody that said it sounded better.
Because it's only on a native product.
Yeah.
Well, Spotify sounds good over every
product. Doesn't really sound good, though. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm on Apple Music, Nate and Tyler on Spotify. I'm curious, Aiden, which one do you use?
No, you didn't let Nate answer. Oh. He has both.
You have both?
No. I got rid of Apple Music now. YouTube Music. Oh, YouTube Music. Okay. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, sorry. So sorry. YouTube Music's pretty cool, man. The one benefit about it is that you can have access to YouTube videos on there too as audio. True. So you can, anything that's not on streaming, like that's uploaded on YouTube, you can listen to as well, which is pretty sweet. That's one big draw of it. But yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's pretty much the same as every other one. But
yeah, I'm using Spotify right now mainly because Tyler has me on his Duo plan.
Okay.
So I did have Apple Music, but I'm like, I'm a college student, and I'd rather save money for other stuff. So sure, it's only like $6 a month with the student plan, but I don't need it right now since I have Spotify. And honestly, the difference between Apple Music and Spotify, I don't think is that big. I feel like you're letting...
No, if you go to your settings turn on lossless audio...
I've done it. Telling you. It's like, yeah, I think they both sound just as good. Like, you have to really know... Like, you have to be really intently just...
Oh, I am, dude.
No, you're not. You're in the car going like... bumping your head.
You can tell if it's lossless, man. Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
So you don't know if it sounds better. So you're being tricked into it's a placebo.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess if you have AirPods, yeah, that's like spatialized audio or whatever, where kind of you can have a track where you are. It's fixed in a setting.
Well, that depends on audio too. Spotify can have that, so it can just any sound would have it coming from multiple directions. It's called 8D audio or something like that.
Yeah, 8D. What they call? Well, no, 8D. That's the thing, is like 8D audio moves around you already, like, yes. You move, if yes. You move, it can follow you.
Sony had that. I think it's something.
What would Sony have it on? I don't have a streaming. Well,
I had the Link Buds.
Anyway,
okay,
on the app.
I used to be on Spotify, but it was the same thing as you, where I was getting Apple Music for free, and I had to pay for Spotify.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I also have YouTube Premium, and I've tried out YouTube Music, and it is good. But I like how much Apple Music pays its artists per stream. And so that's why I'm mainly on Apple.
I will say, Spotify is being dumb. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, no, 100%. I feel like Spotify pays a little bit less. They're known to pay very, very little money.
They have been.
But isn't it because Apple Music doesn't have a free version?
Yeah, but
it's all paid for.
Yeah, but
you have to pay to use it.
But true. Still.
But you're paying totally your art. The thing is, like, the artists are getting more money.
Yes, but it's also less people on it because you have to pay for it.
I actually don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure there's no free Apple Music.
There is no free Apple Music.
That's what I'm saying. And you can use Spotify for free while still contributing money with ads that aren't as frequent as, like, it could be, like, every other song, and then they could pay more. But it's not every song.
So that's actually what I was about to talk about. Was Spotify is being really stupid with their free plan. Like, their ads are already a crap ton. But the other thing is, they are in this new update, apparently, unless it's complete false information and somebody made it up. You know that smart shuffle ability?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing free users can use now. They can't just shuffle.
I had that update. That's why I mainly got off Spotify. It's like a TikTok kind of thing.
It's always been like that. It's always been smart shuffle. You could never make your own playlist.
It was for a certain.
No.
It was for certain users.
You can make your own playlist.
Yes.
And you'd shuffle it.
Always
it
use smart shuffle.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
For certain users.
Once the playlist ended, it maybe start shuffling different songs. Yes.
You had to hit a certain. Okay. But it also had to be a certain length.
What I'm saying is Spotify free users now have no option. They have to use smart music, so it's going to put in random music that will match the vibe theoretically. Yes. But I'm going to say the DJ. Has not, like, that Spotify DJ has not matched my vibe, ever.
Why are you using the DJ?
I'm just saying, for example, of them, like, using something to...
No, smart shuffle works.
It worked okay, but it's not, like, perfect.
So you just skip it.
You see, with free users, that's troublesome, because then they're going to get ad.
Well, I like that you brought up the Spotify DJ, because that leads us into a conversation of AI, and also art, and also the Ava Brothers, and also the documentary. So there's your segue.
But we were still on the music time.
Do you want to still talk about music?
I did, because it's free.
Spotify is
free. If we compare it to Apple Music, it's still free.
We're 30-plus minutes into a movie podcast, and we haven't talked about a movie yet.
Yeah, Spotify is free. They have that one thing. But they're making that free experience, like, just bad.
Aiden, if you didn't know, Tyler's very stubborn.
But... but it's not competing against anything that's not, it's almost the only free one where you can make your own, input your own, like, music. I'm pretty sure Pandora, you don't make your own account, you don't make your own playlist, you choose a radio.
YouTube.
Pandora, I think
you
can.
You have to pay for
you don't have to pay to get on YouTube.
Well, the only thing is you can't, like, turn off your phone.
Yeah.
You can if you have premium.
Yeah, but then see, you pay for it. Spotify is the only one with.
Yeah, Spotify is free, but I'm still pointing out that they are, like, making it bad.
But it's also the best experience that you would get for free.
I'd have to look more into Pandora.
But also, yeah, for Spotify for free, aren't you not able to play through full albums?
No, you can't
to play
an album.
Shuffle?
It's only shuffled. And that's kind of
that's
iffy.
A huge.
Sorry?
Oh, I was saying that's a huge downfall. Yeah, at that point it would just.
Yeah, I'm someone who needs like the.
Yeah, I like to listen to like if I'm listening to
like
an album, I like to listen to it in order.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's free.
Yeah, it's free. I give them that, but I'm just saying like they are.
But see, but then if you're trying to listen to it in order, then that's at a point where you can sit down and probably listen to it and not
Tyler
play. What are you talking about?
I'm gonna point to an album called Abbey Road. By the Beatles. They're a pretty small band.
Aiden, you might not have heard of them.
I'm not familiar with those dudes, to be honest.
No, so in Abbey Road,
doesn't know where he goes.
The last few songs, there's like three in particular. It's Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight in the End. They all go into each other.
Yes.
If you're shuffling that album, you're probably not going to get them all together.
Yes.
So the cuts are really abrupt, and it's just going to go like, Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, there's stuff like that I'd like to listen to.
Yeah, per se. If it's free, okay, but you still don't get the full album experience.
You still
want
to have that in, like, a liked playlist. You wouldn't have that while, like, driving or doing anything, other activities.
So funny.
You would actively be listening to just music.
No, sometimes I'll just play the Abbey Road album.
Yeah.
Picking song by song.
No, I just play the album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I... Well, I'm confused.
That's how we listen to me. Just play the album from the start until the end.
Yes, but for most people, it's just the like songs I chose or the playlists I made.
You're not entirely wrong, but I'm saying in the case if somebody wants to listen to an album, because Donald, me, Robbie. Robbie hates playlists now, which I think is kind of stupid, because playlists can be nice, but yeah. I also, like, if I want to listen to an album, I don't want to listen to it shuffled.
Yeah.
So that's just something like, yeah, Spotify's free, but there are downsides.
But then you still run into that, you still get a abrupt thing when they hit you with an ad in between them.
We have a music expert here, guys. Is it worth it for a free streaming service if you can't listen to albums non-shuffled? If you have to shuffle albums?
If there is no better alternative for free.
Well, for one, I don't know if I'd say I'm a music expert, but I'm flattered nonetheless. But I would say, I don't know, man. Like, I guess it comes down to personal preference and how much you personally want to consume music. I don't fault anyone for their listening preferences. I personally love listening to albums from start to finish most of the time, but I love to listen to playlists as well. So I'm kind of in between. But I don't want to be like, oh, it's one way or the other. Yeah. But honestly, I would say it's probably worth shelling out the extra to avoid the ads and to just have the option to play something from start to finish, because a lot of the time there's records that you kind of require that almost to get the big picture of them, like cohesive bodies of work, which is something that I value personally and I think is great. But not a lot of people, you know, I know the album format has kind of slipped in popularity, so I respect the playlist lovers that kind of just, you know, listen to individual tracks, but depending on the record and depending on the album, like it's worth it to have the option, because I feel like they're like Abbey Road, for instance, great example. The Abbey Road medley on the B side of the record, like is something that's a perfect example. Like those songs are the way they record, this seamlessly blend into each other. So yeah, you do get a different experience listening to full album, but I also can't fault people for not wanting that to go that route, because I totally understand, like, you know, maybe you only like one or two tracks from a particular album or something. So I don't know, but from my personal perspective, I do think it's worth shelling out the money, but I don't know. I guess it all really comes down to personal preference, how much you love music, how much music is a part of your everyday.
So we can say, Tyler, that if you like listening to albums in full, you should pay the money. But it is worth it if you're like you, or like the typical, I don't know how else to say it. If you're just someone who likes to listen to playlists and individual songs, then you might not have to shell out the money.
Yeah, if you're looking just for a vibe instead of like specific songs.
What if that vibe is Abbey Road?
That's a specific song.
No, it's just I'm vibing to Abbey Road right now.
YouTube too, man. YouTube is a great free option, and you can have the best of both worlds, right? You can have full albums and individual tracks. Of course, though, the audio quality is like not great on some of those videos, so it's like definitely streaming is better.
Yeah, for not, sure, but, not the best for like car rides and stuff.
I think the only way to listen to music is on 8-track tape, man. Like, that's like, let's bring it back to 8-track only.
Yeah, just get out your vinyl, you know, put it on the player.
Yeah, let's listen to the most inconvenient formats. Reel to reel only.
speaking of, I meant to ask you this earlier, but how do you listen? Like, what do you do while you're listening to music? I've always wondered that about people who have who listen to a lot of music. Like, what are you doing while you're listening to it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like that depends entirely on setting. Like, I love listening to music in the car. It's something that every day I look forward to. I always look forward to that. I have a little bit of a commute to work, probably like 20 minutes. So, like, I love listening to music in my car, and in that case, I have a go-to playlist. But when I'm at home, like, listening to records, I don't know, man, I'll do a variety of things. Sometimes I'll just sit there and hang on the couch with my cat and just get the album my full intention, and marijuana is legal here in Canada. I'll smoke weed and listen to records, and which is always something that is fun. Another thing, I'll just do casual things around the house, like, I don't know, put on a game or something, or or clean and listen to an album. But if I'm giving it my full attention, I love the process of, I don't know, throwing on the turntable, relaxing, giving my full attention, sort of deal. But it entirely depends on setting too. Like, I love listening to music in the car. Like, it's just so rewarding to me every day to have that.
And then as a follow-up to that, I've always wondered this. How much do you think you should know about a particular artist before you turn on one of their albums? Like, should you do a history lesson? Question. Like, I was trying to get into Bob Dylan, and I'm like, okay, I listened to the album, but I don't understand the impact, and I don't understand what that meant to his history. So, like, do I really enjoy it? Like, it's, I don't know.
That's a really good question, because it creates an even bigger question about, like, do we want to know everything about the artist on a personal level, or because sometimes, you know, sometimes, like, personally, I would, like, before supporting an artist, I'd like to know if, like, make sure they haven't done anything crazy in their past, like, that's, like, irredeemable. That's something that's somewhat important to me in the modern times. But outside of that, like, I think the answer is nothing, really, because I think there's something to be said about, like, a degree of mystery too is compelling, because you, like, you could find a name or find a record at the store, an album that sticks out to you, or online that looks cool by the cover, and you click on it, and then you go down a rabbit hole of said artist. So I think that, you know, it really doesn't matter. I think almost going in with a clean slate is almost like a better experience, if anything.
Okay.
But Dylan is I'm happy to hear you're getting Dylan, because he's I know that there's that Dylan biopic coming out in Timothy Chalamet, which is interesting. interesting. But Dylan is an incredible artist. In fact, my good buddy, whose name's also Nate, he's out now. Him and his partner Tia, who I also live with, I live with the two of them, and they went downtown. But before they went downtown, we were listening to some Dylan. Mm-hmm. And man, he is incredible. Mm-hmm. He's the best.
I just watched Don't Look Back, the Bob Dylan documentary. It's like a 10 out of 10 documentary. I don't know if
you've ever seen it. Yeah, you know, that's like one of those ones that I've seen like 75% of it. And it was one night I put it on really late and I watched most of it. But then I went up to bed and I just never finished it. But I've seen about 75% of it. And I need to go back and this weekend, because like what I've seen of it is incredible. He's an unbelievable artist.
Okay. If that's it for the music talk, do you guys want to ask any?
No, I think we covered it pretty good.
Yeah, we're almost 45 minutes into this thing and haven't talked about a movie. Is there any movie news that you want to talk about? We kind of went away from doing movie news because I don't want to be just like another generic. You can hear movie news on another podcast. But is there anything in particular you guys want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to celebrate that X-Men 97 came out.
Oh, yeah.
The first two episodes have released, and I haven't seen them yet because I'm not going to watch them until I actually finish the original show. But anyways, I've heard they're very good. Like, Rotten Tomatoes opened out with, like, a perfect score for both of them, or the show. But, I think it's sitting in the 80s, 90s at least now. Like, it's very well-received so far. I'm excited for that. Also, I think this week they were celebrating, like, the 10th anniversary of The Muppets Most Wanted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 10th anniversary, which is insane.
And that's such a good movie. Music there is also great. Uh-huh.
Have you seen Muppets Most Wanted, Aiden?
I have not, actually, but I do dig The Muppets. The Muppets are cool, man. I'd actually definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, I recommend.
If you haven't seen the 2011 movie, mm-hmm. you should do that first, and then Most Wanted, because it's kind of a direct sequel.
Yeah.
They even sing a song about it being a sequel. But anyway, do you like the X-Men?
I do. In fact, I want to check out that show. I especially really like the 90s X-Men, that classic era. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I'm super familiar with. And I've seen a lot of, but I love it aesthetically and visually. Like, I think it's so cool, and I love that era. And so I think it's really cool that they're going back and recreating that, because I think that was, like, in terms of X-Men, I'm not, like, an expert on X-Men. I don't really know a lot about it. I've seen the movies from the 2000s, mm-hmm. and I've seen some of the episodes of the 90s series. But man, that from a visual standpoint, the art in it is so awesome, and I love everything about it aesthetically. So I think it's really cool. I really want to check that out. Honestly, like, I saw that was on Disney+.
Yeah, I agree with the art. It's super cool looking, and I hope this means like they could bring back in the 90s too. They had that like Spider-Man run that was just, I think it was called the Spider-Man or something. It's not like the old one. Like the 60s, but it's like this. It's probably the second or third animated series they've had, and it's actually really good. I watched like two or three seasons of it, but the creator of the show was asked about it actually because of X-Men 97. They're like, I'm open to anything, so hopefully we could see that happening. And since Marvel looks like they're making an animation department now, hopefully, you know, the future's looking bright there, unlike their live action department.
Do you have any takes on the X-Men, Tyler? No, you don't even want to make one up.
I just haven't seen very many of them. I've seen, like, seen them, but a long time ago. I'm not into the comics or whatever, so.
Fair enough.
Not really.
Fair enough. Okay, so do you want to talk about the movie now?
It's a good idea.
So, in the last episode, I recommended a movie called May It Last. It's a documentary about the Avett Brothers, which are one of my... They were one of Nate's favorite musical acts, as he mentioned, and they're one of mine as well. I think True Sadness is one of my favorite albums from the 2010s. And kind of funny because I watched the movie, Nate watched the movie, but Tyler didn't watch the movie, and it wasn't available for Aiden, so I gave him a pass.
Wasn't available for me, so.
Yeah. But Aiden did listen to the record, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the album, because I really love the Avett Brothers. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoyed the record, and I think that, to be honest with you, I was really impressed to see that Rick Rubin was on there. That was one of the factors of it that really blew my mind. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that he did production on it, because he only works with, you know, the really high up in the industry, and you have to be an incredible musician to have the chance to work with him, and they are incredible musicians. I love the record, and I think it's an awesome album, and it's a reminder that, you know, I hear this is one thing I hear all the time, and I've been guilty of saying this before, but I don't say it anymore because I've learned it's really not the truth. Is that, like, a lot of people say, I don't like country, I hate country, country sucks. And I get it. Like, a lot of modern country that we hear on the radio is kind of boring, and it's kind of like, you know, there's the bro country, driving trucks, all these cliches. But country is a rich genre that has some incredible songwriting. And I feel like these guys really embody that kind of Americana, genuine singer-songwriter, really great songwriting that I love about that can be found in country music. Like, some of my favorite country artists are like Graham Parsons, and my all-time favorite is Towns Van Zandt. And I did some research, and I was curious, and I found out that these guys are inspired by Towns Van Zandt, and I wasn't surprised by that, because he's such an he's probably my, if I had to pick like my favorite songwriter, he's probably my favorite songwriter of all time. He's the best, and his songs are just so genuine. Wears the Heart on the Sleeve, unbelievable songwriter, and I could hear some of him and their sound. So like, when I looked up some of their influences as I was listening to the record, and I was not surprised by the fact that he influenced their sound, because they have a really great kind of songwriting in their music. And again, it's like one of those albums that it's like, this is what I enjoy about country music. Like, if I think about country music that I personally enjoy, this, they kind of embody that style a lot. So yeah, I really enjoyed the album, and I was floored by that. I did see a clip that you sent me on Instagram, Donald, and it was excellent. And now I'm probably going to just break down, I don't know, try to find it. I didn't want to bootleg it, but I'm probably at the point where I'll probably just have to like rent it somewhere or something, because I can't stream it here in Canada, and I was like, I couldn't find it online, so I was like, I don't know, man. I didn't want to bootleg it, so ultimately I didn't watch it, but I still want to check it out, because I did really enjoy the album, and they're awesome. So definitely a fan of their style and their sound.
Yeah, going back to what you said about country, I'm not big on country music either. I mean, there's obvious. I like Chris Stapleton a lot. His song "Cold" is really good, and then I really like Tracy Chapman. Like, that's good country music. I'm not too well versed in the genre. I wouldn't choose to put on country music, but I think they transcend the country genre. Because in the documentary, he was talking about how when he was a kid, when they were kids, they hated the country aesthetic because that's where they grew up. And so he said that they would listen to Kurt Cobain, and they would listen to Led Zeppelin. And that's really what they wanted to do. They always knew they wanted to make music, but that's what style they thought they were going to do. And so it's really interesting the path they went. But I really love the album. The documentary is the making of this record, and Rick Rubin does play a huge part in the documentary. I feel like we should explain who Rick Rubin is, because I don't think Tyler and Nate have ever. You know, the guy with the beard.
I know him relatively.
Yeah. So there's this TV show called Dave. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Aiden. It's about little Dicky, and there's a whole arc in season two about him trying to. It hasn't aged well, but he's trying to. Get his inner Kanye, as he calls it, and so he goes to Rick Rubin for advice, and he stays at Rick Rubin's farm and everything. And so I was familiar with him through that, and then he was also on an episode of the Armchair Expert podcast, which I found out about this documentary and the Avett Brothers. But I feel like I've talked a lot. Nate, what were your thoughts on the documentary?
I thought it was pretty good. It doesn't compare to me, at least from what I've seen of Get Back.
Oh yeah,
the Beatles
movie
or documentary that was about making the album, Let It Be. I've only seen the first part of it. There's three parts, and they're each, like, 3 hours or something. So they're super long, but they're very... Like, I've only seen the first one, like I said, and it's really good, though. But anyways, this movie, I still thought was really good. As a musician myself, I always love seeing how other musicians kind of go through the thought process of making these songs, because we get to see them, like, come up with these songs and how they change, like, how they had this original idea, then they completely changed it, and just kind of how they executed it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, country itself, once again, like you, I'm not super big into country. I will say, like, sometimes when it's on the radio, like, if I'm in the car with my friends, it's not bad, you know, sometimes it's chill, if it hits the mood right, but... I'm not a super big country guy, other than, like, I listen to Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Yvette Brothers, I really like them. Like, they are really good. What you said about them transcending country is, yeah, I'd say that's on the money.
And I really like the documentary because it genuinely almost makes you, I was telling Aiden this, that it makes you, like, reflect on the meaning of art, and it brings me to the conversation of, like, AI, because one of the most powerful scenes in the documentary is actually right after... the clip that I sent you, Aiden, after they played the No Hard Feelings song, they both go outside and they have, like, a deep conversation about, like, what it means that they're selling that song and how the song was a part of their soul and they don't want it to be sold because blah, 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 and they were thinking about not even including it in the album. And I just found it to be really it came out way before, like, even ChatGPT, like, a few years. I think it came out in 2016. I'll have to check, though.
Yeah.
But it's just very... an AI could never do that.
I do love how this, like, the Yvette Brothers, they make this music really for... Like, they don't try... They're not trying to... They don't copy other people's music. They don't cover other people's music. They don't want to do that. They just want to make their own music, and they say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they want to do. That's all they want to sell. Like, they don't even care about the selling as much. That's just a way for them to get known,
mm-hmm.
which is said in the documentary. And I think that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to, again, the interview with Rick Rubin on the Armchair Expert podcast, and he said that life is better if you're hanging out with the Yvette Brothers, which I found really funny. But he also, this is Dax Shepard's idea, it's not mine, but in that scene where they leave the studio, he said he thought it was because it was such a powerful song that they couldn't believe that they just brought that into the world. That scene is just so good. And I was also telling Aiden this, that it's directed by Judd Apatow, who's famous for, like, the Seth Rogen comedy movies. And so it's just a really odd change of pace, and I love how genuine it is. And there is a read that it could be a dark comedy making fun of the Yvette Brothers, but I don't want to read it that way. That's too mean and cynical. I like that, the idea of Judd Apatow wanting to make a genuine documentary about these genuine people. Yeah. And Aiden, I know you said you listened to the show, but we do a segment where we have Tyler tell us what he thinks happened in a movie if he didn't see it. And it's more of a documentary, but what do you think, other than the scene that I told you, what do you think happens in the documentary?
They made music.
Okay.
No, I mean, give us what you think a scene, and the typical scene in this hour and a half documentary would be.
They wrote music.
Right again.
He's got it right, man.
They sang the music they wrote. Okay.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
People liked it.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they sold some of them for money.
How much money do they make? Millions?
Millions.
Billions?
Yep, not billions.
Not billions, just millions.
No songwriters made billions.
Did they even... I wonder what their net worth was. The Yvette Brothers' net worth.
Taylor Swift. So.
That's good.
I think Taylor Swift's the only one.
$9 million.
Made a billion, if anything.
I don't know.
I think Paul McCartney's in the billions.
Drake's probably in the billion.
I'm pretty sure Paul is.
I don't think so.
I'm quite sure.
And then that conversation about AI, Aiden, how do you feel about AI music? Because that's getting to be like a big thing right now, and it's really scary to me, at least.
Oh, absolutely. I personally believe that music fully made by AI is trash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it exist. I think it's an issue. However, I think that AI can be used in really great ways in music. Like, for instance, the last Beatles song, like, I know we were talking about
Now and Then earlier, but yeah.
Yeah, Now and Then was finished using AI. So there's some obvious benefits to it, but I just think that it's soulless, and a lot of AI music obviously is soulless, and it is a problem, and I don't like it at all whatsoever, and I think it's scary. But do I think it's going to replace music? No, not at all. I think without the human element of it, it won't. Maybe it will reach that point where we couldn't tell the difference. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I just feel like unless somehow they can develop it to the point where it has that humanity and human touch to it, I don't know. I feel like it won't quite be the same. Like, it's pretty obvious when you hear something and it's AI now. Not always, but a lot of the time it's obvious. Because it just feels soulless and it has no... It just feels off. And... but I don't know. But like I said, there is some obvious benefits to it. But I personally feel like I also don't know enough about it. But from what I know about it, it freaks me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I hate the idea of like someone getting infatuated with like an AI artist and listening to music made by an AI. It just seems really whack to me, and I just don't like it at all. I don't like the idea of it at all.
Yeah, AI is... It's... I don't know. It's so dumb. It's, you know, it's ruining people's businesses. Like, it's taking... You know, it's getting people, like, losing their jobs. But one of the things about, like, AI and music, one thing they can never replicate, and I know this for a fact, cause if they could, it'd be stupid, and that is live performance. Sure, you can put a box out there and it'll, like, spit out music, but you're gonna lose so much from, like, actually seeing people perform. Like, there's a lot, you know, it's special. Like, when we saw Rustage live, sure, we can listen to him on our phone, but you just have... It's different. Mm-hmm. It's just like seeing a movie in a movie theater.
It's just... A gathering.
It's a gathering.
Yeah. Of like-minded people.
Yeah.
I was listening to, again, Aiden and I's mutual friend Matt on, I think it was Mega Matt's podcast. He was talking about how AI, or FTI started because he really liked supporting his local bands and their live performances.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that really interesting. But, yeah, and I want to say, go back to what you said, Aiden, about how the Now and Then was by AI, not necessarily because it was a demo that John Lennon had recorded, but they couldn't separate the two. I watched a documentary about it. They couldn't separate the two, like, tracks, and they used AI to separate the tracks. But all of it was, like, the backup instrumental tracks were by, I think, Paul and Ringo.
Paul and Ringo recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, that's what I feel like. And that aspect, like, AI can be used for good, because I know it did, like, help in that process, but no, 100%, like, there definitely was still huge, it was mainly, like, they just used it for the mm-hmm. separating those, that track, but so, like, in that instance, like, it's definitely, it can slide, like, it's fine, but outside of that, I can't really think of any songs that I've heard that I'm like, hey, well, this was AI helped make this, you know?
There's an artist that they get mad every time I bring it up. His name is Glorb. He does AI SpongeBob rap battles. But it's not real. Like, he uses AI for the voices, but it has to be like a real person because the bars are too good for an AI to have created it.
You know, and when that's where I have to say, I'm here's AI's defense, and this is where I'm going to come in with it. I think if AI is used harmlessly like that, then by all means do it, because I think it's hilarious. Yeah, that
you should check them out.
Yeah, see, like, I think it's hilarious, man, that we have this technology and people choose to make stuff like that. I think is awesome. So, like, if AI was just being used to make music like that, then it would be fantastic. Then it would be, like, awesome. Because I do think, you know, if you're using it as a joke and people are treating it like that,
and they're not taking it as like an art form, or they're not buying it, or they're just having fun with it and it's harmless, then I definitely don't see a problem with it. If anything, I think that's absolutely hilarious. Like, honestly, yeah. There are times like that is probably one of the instances like, hey, you know, if it's comedic and you know it's a joke, then I think I can let it slide.
You're just like, I like all the AI covers of like songs where they take like, fictional characters and them sing the song.
Exactly.
But that's still like, you know, that's not, that stuff I think, that's fine. Because it's funny to listen
They're like, it's fun no AI it. Cover can be that good. And it's just like,
There's like, also the videos of the AI presidents of Biden, Obama, and Trump. There's one of them.
Oh, yeah. The Star Wars. Those where they have like the debate over like,
Minecraft.
They do a tier list of like fast food or like.
Yeah, I watched one where they rank the Star Wars things, and I was like, that would be good for the podcast. And so that's what inspired us doing the tier list.
I loved your guys' tier list, by the way. I have to say,
awesome,
I'm stoked. I was stoked, and I was like, yeah, these are guys of taste because Revenge of the Sith was in the S tier, and that's my favorite Star Wars movie. Oh, yeah.
See, if it were up to me, Last Jedi would have also been an S tier, but we had that conversation then. That's where the
taste is. Oh, really? Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen that one.
Really?
That's fine.
Which one is that? Is that number?
It's episode 10 8 or 11.
Yeah, 8.
Mandalorian season 1.
Oh, not 10 or 11. Sorry, I meant 7, 8, 9.
Right? You're good. Yeah,
those are the ones. Yeah, I haven't. I've only seen 7. I've never seen 8. Or
9. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
But I've seen Rogue One and Force. Was it what? Force Awakens.
Yeah, that's the 7th one, and that one makes me sad. Yeah,
but I haven't seen the other two. 8 and 9, yeah, but the first like the original saga, like the prequels and the original, huge fan.
And then there was a trailer for The Acolyte.
Yes, there was.
Did you watch it, Nate?
Yeah, it looks very cool, actually. I'm excited because it's like High Republic, so we're getting further back into the Star Wars timeline, which is where we need to go. We need to stop going fucking forward right now because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So we need to back up, and I'm really excited to kind of delve into that era.
Apparently, the Acolyte trailer on YouTube has more dislikes than likes because people are mad that the Skywalkers aren't in it.
Well, I saw a thing where it was tied, and it's because it was to show that, like, the balance of power and that it needs to be changed. Because the whole thing about the Acolyte, the whole, like, thing is, it's kind of like the lightsabers. It's like, it doesn't matter who deserves them. It's about who's more powerful, like the light or the dark side. But I'm excited nonetheless. I'm happy there's no Skywalker. Like, I love the Skywalker saga, but we gotta let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta stop.
It's such a big world.
Yeah, there's so much more to Star Wars, like, and that's like what I really think is cool about the Legends series that I want to read. Like, that it delves further into it, into other aspects like the Old Republic. And I just want to get more into that stuff, you know? We've had our due with the Skywalker saga. I'm sure Mandalorian and Grogu will have more Luke stuff, but if we can, like, you know, get out of that area, I'd be happy with Star Wars.
Did you know that there were people on the writer's staff of The Acolyte who have never seen a single piece of Star Wars media? Because they wanted to make sure that the emotional beats hit even with people who aren't familiar with the series.
It's kind of good, actually. That kind of makes me hopeful.
Yeah.
Speaking of another trailer, The Juice is Loose.
I don't know what that is.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. The next Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Do you like the first Beetlejuice, Aiden?
Yeah, man, I enjoy it. I do enjoy it, yeah, for sure, 100%.
It's one of our favorite movies.
The movie or the Broadway?
No, the movie. So they're making a sequel, finally, and Tim Burton's directing it.
It looks really good.
Jenna Ortega's in it, peak. And Michael Keaton's coming back, which is perfect.
Is that Beetlejuice?
That's awesome. The original Beetlejuice.
Oh. But not the one from Broadway.
Why would the one from Broadway go? Look, I love the Broadway show. I do, but
so not the one in Has Been
Hotel. No, not the one in Has Been Hotel.
What's that guy named? Like,
I don't know.
Like Adam.
He is really good on the Beetlejuice Broadway. But
I like that guy. That guy's just, I just recognize that voice for Beetlejuice. He should be Beetlejuice.
No, Michael Keaton should be Beetlejuice in the movie, and I'm super stoked.
No, like he's Batman.
He's both.
Anyway, no, so I guess we're done with the Ava Brothers movie discussion. I would give it a 9 out of 10. It's very close to being a 10, but there are some scenes that just, they do kind of drag, but
4 out of 10.
Okay, Tyler. What about you, Nate?
I gave it a 7 out of 10. It might be, it's like leaning 7 and 8. I think it's very good, but it's just like, it's not like spectacular or amazing. It's just very comforting.
There's definitely better documentaries, but I just love how, again, I like to see it as a genuine movie made by genuine people about genuine people.
And I love that, like, it actually, like, okay, I want to listen to these guys now. That was also, like, something that it's cool that it did.
I guess, again, that you could watch it as a dark comedy, but that's just mean.
I don't...
Like, why would you make fun of those guys? I'm not
going to watch that as a dark comedy, no.
And it does make sense, because Judd Apatow is a comedy director, and people say that this movie is... The few reviews I've seen, one of them said it's, quote, secretly his funniest movie, which is just really mean. I don't really like that at all. But, Aiden, what would you rate the album? If you don't do ratings, that's fine. But just, again, say your general thoughts, like, in a brief, like, put this on the box of the CD or whatever.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I'd probably give it, like, a 7.5.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really memorable record, really, really great production, value, quality, and awesome songwriting, great instrumentation, musicianship all around was fantastic. I thought it was a good record, man. I'd probably give it about a 7.5, bordering an 8 if I had to give it a rating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about? It's kind of short. Mm-mm. We normally try to go for at least an hour and a half.
We did have technical difficulties setting up, which was like a good 45 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a question. Aiden, what's your favorite album from 2024 so far?
Wow, from this year, eh? Yeah.
It's only March, you know, but there's been a lot of good albums this year.
Really good question. I'm gonna have to stew on that. Let me look at what I've been listening to. Yeah, because there've been some really good records that have come out this year that I heard. Wow, that's a tough question. I really did like that new Kim Gordon album.
I know
that we were talking about that. I really did like that a lot. I thought that was excellent. I really liked the album from Boldy James, and who's a rapper from Detroit, and Nicholas Craven, who's actually Canadian. He's from Montreal.
Okay.
Penalty of Leadership. That's an album that I've been going back to a lot that came out this year. I'm trying to think of what else, like, what other, like, newer records that I've been listening to. I would say probably that's up there. I'm really excited because Rock Marciano is dropping an album, who's my favorite rapper. He's dropping a project next week, so that'll probably take my top place. Like, I guarantee that'll probably be my favorite album of the year once it drops. Yeah, man, I would say that Boldy James project. I really like the new, there's another project from Esty Knack, another rapper.
Okay.
It's Future Wave, a Canadian producer. Really excellent stuff. Really dug that one. It's called Stone Temple Pyrex. That album is cold. It was really good. That's definitely up there for me. Another one that I really liked too is recently that I found was one called, it's called Hell on Wheels, and it's by a rapper named Spook and Sadu Gold.
Okay.
But my favorite thing that I've heard all year, hands down, and it's a song, it's not an album, but it has more density and more replay value, and more, you can get as much out of the 10 minutes in it as you could in an album, and it's called Doves, and it's by Arm & Hammer, who's one of my favorite groups in music and old music, any genre. And I had the privilege of seeing them earlier this year, and I got to meet them. I got a bunch of vinyl signed, and so Arm & Hammer's the rap duo of Billy Woods and Elucid. And they're really, really crazy abstract rappers. Unbelievably dense lyrics. Like, some of the craziest lyricism I've ever heard, but they came out with an album last year. It's called We Buy Diabetic Test Strips. I know that's a weird name of an album, but it is one of the most it's my favorite album of last year. It was one of the most polarizing records I've ever heard. It is unbelievable. And I saw them on the tour for that album. But anyway, to cut to the chase, Doves was a bonus track that they added to the album just recently, about a month ago. And it's unbelievable. It's just an unbelievable song. It's transcending. It's crazy. It has a bunch of different layers to it. It has a singer who's featured on it. His name's slipping my mind, but it's an excellent song. I highly recommend that one. That's probably my favorite thing I've heard all year.
Okay. I've got a few to shout out to. And again, I won't list 70 records. There's not that many, but okay.
69.
Yeah, I really like the album "She Reaches Out to She Reaches Out to She" by Chelsea Wolfe. It's kind of like on Rate Your Music. It's described as dark wave and post industrial. It's really weird. I really dug it. And then there's also "What Now" by Brittany Howard. That's kind of like a groovy kind of album that I really liked. And then there's Wall of Eyes by The Smile, which is by a few. Have you heard of The Smile?
I have, yeah. They're on offshoot of Radiohead. I actually heard some of that album and I really enjoyed
it's
that.
It's really good.
They're cool. I really dig them.
Yeah, I guess my favorite album I already mentioned was What Now by Brittany Howard. It's very good. Have you heard of this album?
I'm familiar with Brittany Howard. Yeah, I haven't heard that album though.
Yeah, this is my favorite song from it. I'll play a little bit of it. It sounds so cool. Yeah, that's all I want to play. But, yeah. Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about? They're arguing about if we want to go to Waffle House after the show.
Right, refer Aiden, right?
Yes.
All right. Have you seen Has-Been Hotel at all or heard about it?
No, I'm not familiar with that at all. What is that?
It's on Amazon Prime.
It's an A24 cartoon.
It's A24?
Mm-hmm.
No fucking shit. I'll watch that tonight.
Yeah, it has Beetlejuice from Broadway and a lot of other like heavy hitters, and it's just like really good songs every show. It's more like a adult comedy kind of animation. And it has like a really good story to it as well.
Is Amazon Prime available in Canada?
It is, yeah. Is it on there?
It's also available on. I know the pilot is at least available on YouTube.
Yeah, it started out as like a YouTube animation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
But the pilot has different people than the show.
I've been watching the Apple TV show Severance, it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm on episode 7.
Yeah, it's about
wait, Severance or Has-Been Hotel?
I'm talking about Has-Been Hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex Brightman, who played Beetlejuice as plays like four people in Has-Been Hotel. Yeah, it just has it's about redeeming sinners from hell into heaven.
Hmm.
And it's the daughter of Lucifer running a hotel to redeem them.
I do want to watch
it. And there's really good songs. And like almost every episode.
I've been wanting to watch it, but now that's A24, I might get on it sooner.
Is Apple TV in Canada?
It is, but the selection sucks, man. Okay. Like, it has nothing.
That's true.
Anyway, anything else, you guys?
No, I think that's it.
So, Aiden, when we do our recommendations, we keep them secret, so it's like a surprise whenever we say what it is. So I'm really excited. Nate, we have a recommendation from Nate Hall.
This one's actually completely out of left field for my head, because originally I was going to recommend like an animated Disney movie, my original goal. I was either going to recommend Monsters, Inc. or The Black Cauldron, but I'm not. And instead, I was thinking, you know what's coming to theater soon? and it's going to be this movie, America. It's Sam Raimi's Spider-Man!
Yeah! Which one?
The first one. I'll start at the beginning.
Why not number two?
I know that one's peak, like 10 out of 10. But I just want to start back at number one. Maybe Tyler will recommend number two. If he watches number one.
You plan on watching it?
It's, come on, it's Sorry. A superhero movie.
You're right, I already have a two movie to recommend.
Is it?
John Wick 2.
Yeah, you got John Wick.
No, I'm not going to.
Now you don't get to recommend it because we.
Fine, I'll just do the third one.
John Wick 3. Okay. Speaking of the Black Cauldron, have you seen that, Aiden? Last question.
I have not, actually. That's one that I would want to see, though. I know about it. It's that one I've never seen. I know it's a golden age classic, but
isn't
that
Mickey Mouse with a wizard?
No.
That's Fantasia or whatever.
It's almost what killed Disney, so I wouldn't necessarily consider it a classic, but you have to really connect with its vibe. But I really like it. It reminded me a lot of The Dark Crystal.
Mm.
Yeah. It's really cool. Just as like a novelty thing. Yeah. But anyway.
All right.
So
I think this is it.
No more episodes after this.
Well, no, because I recommended Spider-Man. So we'll just do let's just watch all the Spider-Man movies before next time, and we'll just rank them all.
Have David and Cole back.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Anyway, thank you for coming on, Aiden. This was really fun. Yeah, we should have you on again.
No, thank you so much for having me. Seriously, this has been a blast, guys. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I wish you could have seen the movie. If you end up watching the movie, come back on, because I want to talk about it with you. It's really good. Especially for musicians and people who are really into music, I think you'd get a lot out of it.
No, absolutely. I've really been wanting to watch it and really been meaning to check it out.
Okay. And also listen to the Rick Rubin interview with the Armchair Expert. It's really good. Yeah. I think we're done here, unless anyone has anything else to say. We usually end the... Tyler says, me money.
No.
So we're going to go to Waffle House, I guess. Unfortunately, Aiden can't come with us because he's in Canada.
What about me money?
Oh, there's an R in that word.
we usually end the podcast off with Tyler rating whatever he drank.
I don't know
episode.
How to spell hungry.
but Tyler hasn't been drinking anything this episode. So Nate, what were you drinking?
I was drinking Trader Joe's sparkling strawberry juice beverage.
Was it pretty good?
It's okay, but I also looked and it expired in September of last year.
Really?
So
have fun getting food poisoning.
I'll probably be fine. It's a drink. I'm not that worried.
Were you drinking anything during the episode, Aiden?
I was. I had one drink. I just had a spiked lemonade.
Okay, that's pretty good.
The spiked, yeah, that was all I had.
Okay. I had this.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
it was solid. What did you have? Did you have anything?
I just had this Core Hydration water. Perfectly balanced pH purified water, electrolytes and minerals for taste. it was my grandma visited, and this is the water she drinks, and I just grabbed one because I needed a drink for the show. Anyway, I didn't have any alcohol, even though I'm old enough. I don't drink. Anyway, thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Any last words, anybody?
Yeah, but it's H-U-N-G-R-Y, right?
Hungry?
Yeah.
H-U-N-G-R-Y.
Yeah, okay. H-U-N-G-R-A-Y is the country.
Hungry.
Yeah.
But he's talking about hungry because he's hungry. All right. Thanks for
listening, everybody.
I just forgot to
Bye. Thank you.